Welcome to the Fuqua Show for the stories, the lessons, and the passions of the Team Fuqua community here at Duke University's Fuqua School of Business. I'm Thomas Chang, and I'm extremely excited today for a very special guest. We have with us the one and the only Steve Mizoraka. Welcome, Steve.
Thomas, I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
Well, Steve, we're near the end of Fuqua spring break. How's it been without everybody in the building in the past few days?
It's quiet, but I've been able to take advantage of a little bit of quiet time to take my family to Disney World. So I got back late last night, celebrated my daughter Josephine's birthday, but really excited to be here, Thomas.
Wonderful. Well, a lot of you all know Steve, whether you're a current student or you're an alumni, but for those who haven't met him yet, Steve Mizoraka has been a part of Team Fuqua for almost 17 years. After finishing his MBA here in 2009, Steve joined the staff and has worked across several departments in the school. He currently serves as the Associate Dean of the Daytime MBA program, the Master of Management Science, or MMS, and Accelerated MBA, or AMBA. Outside of work, he's a proud girl dad and enjoys spending time with his wife and two daughters, Josie and Maddie, living on the best street in the universe and attending all Duke sporting events.
Hell yeah.
Steve, I don't know if you had to do a 25 random things essay when you applied here, but what are some things that people might be surprised to know about you?
Well, I didn't as a student, but as a staff member at admissions, it was a tradition when we got hired to the team to fill out our 25 random things. And that's where the essay came from. And I'll give you three maybe in the spirit of business school. The first is family is absolutely everything to me, Thomas. It is absolutely everything. And you'll hear a lot about my family today. But I grew up idolizing my dad. He was the JD MBA. I wanted to be him when I was older. But my mom is my hero. And I think about trying to honor her in everything I do. I probably don't tell her enough that she's my inspiration, but she's been a public school teacher in the city of Detroit in special education for a long, long time. And her generosity, her care, the impact she's had on individuals, like if I could be part of what she is in this world, and that would be cool.
What's her name?
Barbara Mizoraka.
Barbara Mizoraka.
Yeah, so that's one. Number two, I'm emotional. I cry. You know, I cry because I'm happy, because I'm proud, because I'm touched, whether it's watching American Idol or more recently taking my kids. Last year, I had the privilege of taking them to the Duke UNC basketball game and just walking in the stadium as a family and being there with them, instant tears. And then recently had a family member, a member of our staff whose sister got admitted to Fuqua. And I called to congratulate her from Disney. And my daughter said to me, Dad, I hope maybe that's me one day. And I, man, waterworks right away.
Love it. Yeah. Did you say you had one more or was that three?
In my PDP is the second year. I actually wrote this down in preparation. I wrote this like legitimately, and I have it in this little red binder that I keep next to my desk. And so I was just looking at it. I wrote, in 10 years, I want to be in front of a large room of 400 plus people, inspiring the audience by my leadership story. Also, I want to be a husband, father, mentor, and trusted friend. And I want to be tied to this wonderful Duke community for the rest of my life. None of those were my life 10 years ago. And what a blessing all 10 are now.
Family, big part of your life. Duke, big part of your life. Fuqua, we're going to dive into all of those things. I want to go back to your experience here as a Fuqua student. How did you even end up here in the first place?
I've been working for my family business. I mentioned idolizing my dad and was just really lucky to kind of dive in the deep end of business and management through an opportunity that my family had. And there was also a lot of insecurity that came from that. You know, about this is not something I necessarily created on my own. After I graduated from Duke, I joined something that my dad had created as part of his incredible work ethic.
What kind of a business?
Real estate business. So residential real estate started really small. My dad was a tax attorney. And what he enjoyed about this business was that he was able to pursue it with his community, with his friends. And so he got a number of his friends and networked to invest in these properties and did really well for a long period of time. But then, you know, like everything, you know, you go through periods. But I was fortunate enough to join this business and learn a ton. But also there's a lot that comes with that when you join something that maybe you didn't create, something was missing. I signed up for a GMAT course and wanted to kind of hit that reset button on life. And I think one of the constants for me is the places I end up are a result of the people that have helped bring me along. And so I'll fast forward. I was fortunate enough to be admitted to a couple different places, went to the welcome weekends, and was actually walking to the Washington Duke Hotel at Blue Devil Weekend, having just come from Michigan's MGO Blue Rendezvous. I had on my backpack for Michigan. I'm not a Michigan fan. And Adam Bezura said to me, "Go Blue." I turned around and said, "Who is this guy?" It was at the time, a first year at Fuqua. Him and JD Lubinetsky were the guys that kind of pulled me in at Blue Devil Weekend and became mentors, friends, champions, introduced me to their crew. And so when I came home from Blue Devil Weekend, I knew that's where I'd be. Special, special dudes. And I've had that theme at Fuqua throughout my experience. As a student, as a staff member, I found advocates, champions, mentors, folks that have pulled me along on the journey. And I'm supremely grateful for that.
And so you enrolled, you came here in 2007.
Yes.
What was that like for you? Was it similar to, you think, what a lot of other Fuqua students go through in that initial summer and fall term?
Yes and no. I was excited that Katie and I met at Duke as undergrads, and all the best things in my life have happened to me at Duke with a little bit of tough stuff sprinkled in. But she came back to do her PhD in cancer biology. I came back to do my MBA. So we're applying it, you know, to schools together. And I was excited to come back to a place that meant a ton to me. And I was very early that annoying kid that wanted to be all in on the Duke experience. And I was not a great student as an undergrad at Duke. Changed my life forever in so many different ways. But I was chasing being a good student. I was not super involved. I was in a fraternity at Duke as an undergrad. And so I wanted to make a more of an impactful difference in the community. And so I was kind of that annoying first year that raised his hand for everything that that came up. And, you know, in a way that helps me relate to student experiences, that really want to be a judicial rep, submitted my platform. And I remember, I can see it. I was in Station 9 where we lived. I got the call that said, sorry, you weren't selected. I was devastated. You know, I questioned whether I belonged. Were the relationships I had authentic, real, meaningful? I met these guys, you know, Adam and JD and their entire crew year above me, but had I made those incredible connections with my class yet? And you know, it was easy to talk about the weather or do the pre-parties, but like, was I in the right place? And I was really heartbroken and certainly questioned whether or not this was the place for me. Rejection hurts. I also like vividly remember, what am I doing here? Like, what am I really trying to accomplish in life? And I think probably every student does that. And I do believe this, that everyone comes to business school with a different set of passions, sacrifices, ambitions, dreams, and fears. And I had my fair share of that. And you know, sprinkle in just a lifetime of probably some insecurity, bad potion. But I think you snowball a couple successes. And you know, I imagine it was a combination of some of my peers who knew I really wanted to make a difference, and those second years that were unbelievable champions for me that said, pick yourself up, dude, let's go. And I think very quickly turned into, I think the first position that I was fortunate enough to earn was being an admissions ambassador. I think now they're ARCs, you know, folks that greet folks. And that was my beginning of my path towards a lot of involvement at Fuqua, a lot of admissions involvement, Blue Devil Weekend co-chair, Cole Fellow, that kind of stuff, admissions fellow, MBAA.
Well, you were getting involved in all of these extracurriculars, yeah, which I can relate to as someone who was also that annoying first year. How did you balance that with everything else at school, especially with recruiting? Yeah. Did you have a sense of what you wanted to pursue professionally?
I love that. Such a great question. I mean, it's really tough to do it all, right, guys? It's like almost impossible, right? And where do you make, and not just recruiting, but like me and Katie, like we were living together, you know, we were soon to be engaged. You know, and so I was really lucky that my search was really narrow. I was determined to be Duke's athletic director. That's what I wanted to do. Kevin White had just come over from Notre Dame, my dad's school. So I wrote some probably really crappy overlong email. I have it still. I save everything. And, you know, ended up doing a mentor study for Kevin. Took his first course at the time it was offered. But I was dead set on being Duke's athletic director. So don't need to recruit. I needed to prove to myself that I could be a good student. So being a Fuqua scholar was a big goal for me, was really important. Being a good partner was really, really important. Being a good friend, and then being tied to Duke in some way. And for me, that was going to be being the athletic director. Although Nina is now the athletic director, and she was part of that course. Her and Kevin co-taught, and she's a much better athletic director than I could ever dream of being. So I'm all team Nina.
When you were here as an MBA student, yeah, did you ever feel like you found that sense of belonging?
That's a great question. Yeah, I do. I think the insecurity gets in the way, but I can remember staying here for New Year's and holding a New Year's Eve party at Station 9 and just kind of being myself, you know, and not worrying about being judged or what my reputation might be. And, you know, found a good group of friends in the program and also some folks. And shout out to anyone from Fuqua listening to this. It's also healthy to find folks that are not part of Fuqua to be friends with. Katie and I found this amazing couple that were here in Durham for very different reasons. And they became kind of like soulmates for us. And they were at this party. So I think that allowed me, and especially when I stopped kind of being told what to do through the core curriculum and allowed to kind of pick the rest of my journey, I was able to take classes that more aligned with my passion. I was able to find pockets of belonging in some of the clubs and organizations and even the involvement that I was in. So yeah, I mean, I found it, but I think the insecurity, you know, the fear of failure, the fear of being perfect, you know, the fear of not being enough. It's something that always kind of lurks, you know, and I think it probably always will in the rest of my life. So, you know, like it's a battle of how do I bring my best self to the places I am. And I think some of it comes with age and experience. Some of it comes through going through shit. And, you know, the world has tested us. So I think I do feel like I belonged at Fuqua, but I wasn't yet the version of who I wanted to be.
Well, I really appreciate you sharing all this. It's something that I personally can relate to. I'm sure a lot of current students and even alumni can relate to just this feeling of, like you said, not being enough, especially when you're in an environment like this where people around you seem to be crushing it in every possible dimension.
Yeah.
I appreciate you sharing it. And I hope that it resonates, and we'll definitely get into COVID and all the things that helped you clarify some of these things later on. I want to transition from you being a student here to you being a staff member. What made you decide to stay for that first job?
I've been just super fortunate to have, for lack of a better term, angels at the right time. So I'll rewind a little bit on this. We're really fortunate. I was close with our program dean, Mike Kemmerich, our dean of admissions, Liz Riley Hargrove. I work with Mike on the MBA, work with Liz as a admissions fellow. Back then, we used to have an admissions role on the MBA, and that's what I applied for. So I ran to be the admissions VP on the MBA. So I get into the interview, and Vincent Berry said, no. They said, we want you to be student life because we just think you love this community and you'd be great at it. And I started bawling. Probably the first interview they've had where like, why is this grown man crying in the middle of this? And so just always had kind of a connection to some of the leaders at school. So I, you know, Liz and Mike in their roles as dean were very big supports. I was close to a couple faculty members, and I remember very vividly going to Durham Bulls game with, and this was my second year, with two faculty members that were where I looked up to. And they said, there's this opportunity to join Fuqua. There to be really, you've built up so much institutional equity and knowledge. You care so much. You understand how the place works. You will start higher and move faster if you take this Fuqua opportunity rather than wait for athletics to come around. But the reasons I didn't want to work at Fuqua were some of the same kind of personal insecurities. I didn't want to be like that third year that hung around at Fuqua Friday. Like I was close with the class that was below me. I didn't want to be the dude that never left, the Van Wilder or whatever of Fuqua. And yeah, so all the reasons for not doing it were just internal fears. All the reasons for doing it were in line with my values and making a difference. And so thank God for Liz and Mike and for my professors to help me see the better version of myself. And so joined our admissions team after graduation, and it put me on the right track of life.
Well, how did it feel when you first started and you saw your peers going on very different paths?
It felt great. It felt like I was making an impact. It felt like I could share my excitement and love of Duke and Fuqua with folks that wanted to be a part of that. And so there was a lot of real natural connection. I got to connect with students that wanted to be part of something I was a part of. So a lot of the fears I had proved not to be true. There was sort of some doubt that crept in after a couple of years of like, am I really exercising my full potential? Am I making as big of a difference through recruiting students as I would be kind of being with them, you know, in a way to really going back to my mom and honoring my mom. And so that crept in after a couple of years, but I loved from the get-go, I loved working for Fuqua.
Was there anything challenging about it, especially transitioning from being a student to being a staff member?
Yeah, I did not attend Fuqua Friday for about the first year or two. Just needed to create that distance, made decision to kind of limit kind of going out in Durham. Every time we go out in Durham, I'm always looking around to see who's around. I try not to wear as much Duke stuff when I go out, although that's all I own. So it's sort of tough, but it's a weird place of like being recognized by students. And you know, I like to have a good time. So there was nothing really difficult. Like it was all surface level. Like, and then, you know, for the last decade or so, I've been at every Fuqua Friday that has happened. So, and you know, it was okay to sacrifice it for a year.
So tell us about then that transition from admissions, recruiting students to, as you said, working with students and walking with them throughout their journey.
Yeah. So the first person I ever asked to and maybe the only person to officially and awkwardly mentor me was Dean Sue at Duke, absolute legend. I asked her to get a coffee, met with her, talked about my life story. This was when I was still in admissions. This would have been probably 2012 or something like that. And saw that another kind of legend was leaving Duke for Northwestern. I said, yeah, Sue, who's the hiring manager? I'd love to learn more. It was the first dean of students position at Duke undergrad. So I met with Sue And she said, I'm the hiring manager and send me your stuff. And I'm like, okay, like I got to think about this. So I told my boss at the time, I told my entire circle at Fuqua that this is something I was interested in exploring, even though I love my job. I've never been someone that's sort of looking. I've always envisioned having the same career. You know, loyalty for me is a big deal. And I wanted to be part of something bigger and went through the process and became a finalist and met like 50 different types of people in my interviews and learned a ton. Didn't get it, nor should I have. I was definitely not the right candidate for the role at the time, but it opened up my eyes. And then, you know, a couple months later, maybe even a month later, the folks that were leading student services for the MMS program at Fuqua came into my office and said, we're leaving. We think you'd be a great person to be the first director of the program. There had been a dean and I think an associate director, and I was blown away. Great opportunity. I'm like, well, who does this position reports to? They said, the tall guy that wears the white shirts and the black pants, and the students chant his name in the hallway. I said, you mean Russ Morgan? I remember being very nervous, got to meet with Russ. He had been a name in my notebook on the right column that I wanted to meet for like a good year and a half, 2 years. I remember when he came in as a faculty member and the students loved him. So I remember being very nervous. And actually my notes for that first meeting are in this red binder I have. And I jumped it all in. And so interviewed for that position, was lucky enough to get it, joined an awesome team. Shout out Miranda, what? And Haley. It was my first entry into student services and the unpredictable nature of working with students, walking with students on a journey. And absolutely loved that MMS class, that 2013-2014 MMS class. Had some of the most interesting folks that I've ever met in my life. So yeah, that was the first step into student services. And the whole team that was in charge of that program had left. And so we got to create an experience from new and sort of having that autonomy and independence to kind of create a, you know, I would meet with every student in the program. It was just a beautiful opportunity to get to meet people and support them on their journey, as unique as it was.
That's wonderful. And you said this was around 2014?
Yep, summer 2013, graduating class of 2014.
Well, I'm curious because if I did the math right, this is around the time when you became a father.
Yeah.
And so I'd love to know how that changed the way that you showed up here at Fuqua.
It's always been a gray line to me. I don't know if that's healthy, but that's just me. And so like at that orientation, you saw pictures of my daughter, Maddie. Maddie, I know you're listening to this. Love you deeply, sweetie. They saw Katie. They saw my journey. I, at that point, had some instincts. I didn't know how important it was to show myself. And so like at orientation, I walked through my family and I said, you know, one day my kids will come and interact with you. And in the last couple of years, seeing that happen, especially now in MMS, we have you know, a number of student athletes. You know, my daughters come to their games and get to cheer on daddy's students. So it's always been a gray line. It's been so affirming. And I have this above my computer, HDHCF, being a husband and dad come first. Those are my two most important values. And infusing that into everything I do is very important to me. My health, my physical and mental health is next. My career, the C, being part of something bigger, impacting people. Thanks, Mom. That's incredibly, incredibly powerful and meaningful and in constant learning. That's a big part of my career. And certainly as a dad or even not as a dad, being a part of Team Fuqua as a staff member is fulfilled that for me. And then I cheat on the last one because I can't do things in five. It's my Fuqua, my family, my friends. And so that 2013 year was the first year that I think all those things at Fuqua integrated for me, like family. Like I loved coming to work every day. And so I was just in great alignment in 2013. It took me some time to get that back in terms of all the different areas of life that I wanted to pour into.
Well, I do want to talk about the COVID time because you've brought it up a number of times already. It was clearly a very difficult but impactful period of not only your career, but also your life. Tell me more about what that year or years was like for you.
Yeah, I mean, I remember like it was yesterday when got a note from a couple of our students in iTrek.
Israel Trek,
yeah. Right? You know, my first couple of years in the role, I was Steve. I wasn't administration. I was just Steve. I had a reputation for awkward coffee chats and Fox. I guess maybe I still have a little bit of that. Certainly the crying was there. Bill sent me a note on election day in 2016 to come meet with him. And I've never met with Bill before. I run into Russ's office. I'm like, dude, am I getting fired? Like, why does Bill want to meet with me? He said, go meet with Bill. Bill asked me in that meeting. I don't remember much of it because I was in tears. He asked me to come back to the program I graduated from as program dean. And it would be kind of a several-month transition. I wanted to kind of finish out the year with the MMS students. But I remember being just emotionally struck with the opportunity to kind of fulfill some purpose and destiny and to make this a better place and to throw my heart into that. And why I bring that up when COVID happened, from that moment of tracking down those students on iTrek to making sure they're supported to like holding my breath to deliver groceries at Station 9, like the first week of COVID, because no one knew what was going on. It's like, whatever you did wasn't enough. And no matter what you did, you weren't going to make everyone happy, because no one could. It was impossible. And man, it was brutal. And then you throw on top of that, for me, it was Ahmaud Arbery. The first time I had to use my voice to speak up. Stephanie and I worked with some students through that process and recognized that my voice matters and speaking up or doesn't matter. And then George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, like then the worry with Trump and visas for our international students. It was this, you just never knew it was going to come around the corner, and lack of stability. So my health was not great. I think some of the preconditions came up for what ended up being right after COVID and students kind of back in purpose was my first and hopefully only panic attack. But man, was that real. I lost a ton of weight, but I found therapy, which was really, really important. And I grew up kind of with this mentality of, dude, you can fix it. Like, just work a little bit hard. And I think working hard is important, but we all need a little help. And so finding a therapist and someone that could help me be the husband, be the dad, be the Team Fuquin that I wanted to be was incredibly important. Like, I made COVID matter. It made, you know, I wrote HDHCF above my computer and my values and the kind of my true north. And whenever there's a trade-off, whether, you know, one of the things that really bothered me, I'd be at home trying to have dinner with the kids and there'd be an issue with like students that would be like creeping to my mind or my phone. My phone, like, it emails all the time. Like, I just got back from Disney. One of the first times I've ever not checked my phone for more than like 48 hours. From Sunday through last night, I had, I think, 562 unread emails.
Jeez.
Right? And so—
On spring break too.
On spring break, right? So like, yeah, students aren't in session. There's all sorts of like, it never really stops. And so I've always dreamt of being a husband and a dad, and, you know, trying to be as good as I can in those areas is really important to me. And I found myself like the patience I would show this community, I wouldn't show my family all the time. And that really would bother me. And I still am not perfect on this, but I think having that aligned has been really important for me. So I found a way to make COVID matter, help me set boundaries. Back when I first started in student services, I was much more of a doer. Now I'm at the point where I have to kind of make a final decision on a lot of stuff or be the person that chooses the least shitty option rather than the good option. You know, and that's something in COVID that was very present. And so I, you know, good boundary setting, being a little bit more realistic. And then, you know, something that Russ and I talk quite a bit about, I'm a very positive person by nature, but dosing a sense of reality in my positivity is really important. So, you know, I think COVID's really helped me see that a little bit better and accelerated, even though it sucked and I would never go back. I found a way to make it matter.
Well, for you, Steve, whether it was COVID or now with the 500 unread emails, it seems like you care a lot about the community and you care a lot about people as individuals. Yeah. But how do you take care of yourself while you're caring for so many others?
I'll say it again. Being a husband and dad, top two values. I have a great family and like I had a blast with them at Disney. I love who my daughters are. Shout out to Katie, because that's probably a lot of her influence. I'm really lucky that I feel like I found a partner in life that I'm just as much in love with now as I was the day I met her. I'm in a pretty decent place mentally and physically. And so it goes to kind of where you spend. And I think most folks, and I think for anyone that's listening to this, like you spend a lot of your time in the career you do. So you got to be really, really intentional about, do you have a career that feels like allows you to live your values? And I'm the overwhelming majority of the days, like I am just so grateful to be part of Duke. So being part of something bigger, I learn something every day. That's amazing. And then I have the opportunity to have an impact on people. Mom, like I'm trying to pay it back for you, you know, like the influence you've had on those around you and more importantly on me. So I'm able to be the husband, dad, and Fuquin that I want to be where my feet are at in terms of my personal life and even professional life. And then I can't not answer this question with the kind of the fifth value of kind of my family, my friends. Like I have some staff members that are family to me. And even the staff members I don't know as well yet, or like they're incredible. So I just enjoy being in that environment. Like I enjoy learning from them different ways of doing things. I'm not like the kind of guy that would do well, like go take a year sabbatical. Like I need to be busy. Like I need to be in the mix. if I won the lottery, would I still come into work every day? Probably not every day.
Every other?
You know, in the hybrid world that we're in, you know, like at least once a week, you know, like I really think that, you know, I'm really proud of where I'm at and the team I'm around. And so, yeah, that's enough for me.
Do you have advice for current students or even alumni?
I believe this deeply. The thing that makes us uniquely human, shout out Man's Search for Meaning, is that we can choose our own attitude. No matter what confronts us, we can choose how we show up. You know, we don't always choose the right path, but like I try and choose positivity where I can. Life is too precious and too short. I know that firsthand to not choose positivity. You know, we have to find our joy. We have to find what makes us happy. And I'm going to go back to my mom as an inspiration for this. What is the purpose of life? It's to find your gift. But what makes life really meaningful? It's to give it away. You know, my mom's gift was to be an incredible mom. I've never had a bigger support in my life than my mom, to be an amazing teacher. And she did that often at a cost to self. And so I think if you can find a way to give your gift away to others, it will bring you intense joy and happiness through that process.
What is your gift, Steve?
Was not expecting that question. And I don't know that I've ever thought deeply about it.
Surprise.
Yeah, right. I hope my gift would be that I have a never-ending enthusiasm to care and be present for those that I'm around. And that I would do anything to help them. I'm going to start crying. Yeah, I mean, I'd do anything to be there for Maddie and Josie and Katie, for my family and my friends. And, you know, honestly, I've been really lucky to get to know some students really well on this journey and to be there and be a small little piece of their life and help them in some way. Sometimes it's just a pep talk or a good cry together. I have a lot of Kleenex in my office. I hope my gift would be that I never stop caring.
Well, you've certainly been much more than a small piece of a lot of our journeys here. So thank you for everything you've done for us.
And congratulations on getting me to cry.
Thank you for everything that you've done for us, for the hundreds, thousands of students who've came before us and who will continue to come into Team Fuqua. Thank you for caring, Steve. And thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you for creating this. I mean, this is a gift. This is a gift to Fuqua, not just for now, but forever, right? And just humbled to be a part of it, honestly.